Listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
From the RSPCA, the CEO on the line, David Van Oeren. How are you this morning, David?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Alan.
I wish every time we spoke we could talk about pleasant things, but today we're going to be talking about animal cruelties and the few hotspots around the southwest. It breaks your heart knowing that this is even happening, but I guess it's good to know that people are reporting these things.
Yeah, look, it is a really difficult subject matter, but people are so passionate about animal cruelty and defenceless, vulnerable animals being treated poorly. So it's a tough topic, but it's a really important topic. And the really good news is that people are less and less happy to put up with it. So they're not tolerating it, and they're picking up the phone and making sure something's done about it. So that's really good.
Absolutely. Do we have any idea of what animals in particular are being reported that are being treated cruelly?
Oh, look, well, typically we're receiving 40 to 50 calls every day at RSPCA WA.
Wow.
In summer, it can be 60 to 70, some it spikes in January, February. About 60% of those calls are usually companion animals, so the local dog or cat, and it's usually reported by neighbours who are really unhappy with what's going on down the street or next door.
Mm-hmm.
About 25% of the calls are livestock, sheep, cattle and horses. And then we have various wildlife incidents as well, and there's been some pretty awful kangaroo incidents recently.
Yeah, absolutely. We have heard about that in the news in regards to, I think just the other week, someone found one that was missing its head, had been beheaded for some reason.
That's right. There was an incident a few days last Friday down at Hall's Head, just south of Mandurah there. Pretty alarming, but there's also been some other very violent acts against kangaroos last year. There was a successful prosecution and a jail term for that one. That was a shocking case of maliciously beating kangaroo, defenceless kangaroos. So, as I say, it's great that people are not standing for it. They're reporting it. And there's a lot going on, and people can really make a difference and protect animals. You just got to speak up.
Absolutely. What is the process if someone does want to report some animal cruelty?
If anyone sees anything that really concerns them whatsoever, no matter how big or small, don't hesitate to call the RSPCA. Our number, if I may, Alan, is 1-300-278-3589. I'll repeat that, 1-300-278-3589. Now, that's manned 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Oh, wow.
And we've got an inspector located in the southwest, and Jenna does a fantastic job, and we'll follow up as soon as she can.
Absolutely. Well, it's good to know that people are reporting it. That's all we can really do. What type of punishments are we seeing? What's the maximum punishment we've seen come out of the RSPCA?
Under the animal welfare laws, there's a maximum of 5 years imprisonment or a $50,000 fine. So they're quite severe. And may I just say, Alan, for all the animal lovers and Triple M listeners out there, we desperately need their support. So if anyone's able to make a small donation to us to help us protect animals from cruelty, we'd be so thrilled about that.
Absolutely, mate. Well, thanks for the chat today. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me.
The Triple M Street Patrol.
Yes, Renee is out once again for the Triple M Street Patrol. Hello, Renee.
Morning. Everyone can come and find me here at Pizza Chop Shop in Treendale this morning because it is the season of Italian sausages here at Pizza Chop Shop. And the word around town is that Pete has the best Italian sausage.
You know what? I've heard that, actually. I have heard that about Pete. Got the best Italian sausage at Pete's Chop Shop. I have heard that. Yep.
Yes. It's the word around town. So make sure you come out to Pete's Chop Shop in Treendale for all of your meat needs, chicken, beef, fish. You've got it all.
Yep. Sausages. Got it all.
Stop laughing.
I'm mature.
Yeah, okay.
Friends, brands, advertising. Marketing man Barry Urquhart
on Triple M.
Yep, I've got the man on the line, Barry Urquhart. How are you this morning, mate?
Oh, I'm exceedingly well. I'm looking better to having the opportunity to speak with you, Alan.
Now, I'm excited to talk about this advertising. This is something that a lot of our sales reps are trying to do, and I'm sure they should be listening as well. We'll kick it off with this question. When it comes to advertising, we know a lot of people are holding back a little bit. They don't want to spend too much. Is there a right way to do that? Or is it just completely wrong to do that?
I suppose you go to the Graham Richardson. A lot of people ask me, what is the percentage of my turnover that I should be allocating to advertising, marketing and merchandising? Mm. It's whatever it takes. It depends where you are in your product life cycle. But the one salutary message that I would share with your listeners is, week in, week out, month in, month out, more money is wasted underspending than what it is overspending. So you've got to be able to break through the noise. It's a little bit like white noise when you go into a shopping centre or a Parliament House in Canberra. You've got this background noise that is not actually making any resonation or impact among the consuming public. Mm. You need to break the sound barrier and actually have an impact with consumers. So the point is, if you've got a limited budget, don't say, well, I'm going to spend it equal amounts over a 12-month period. Pick three or four campaigns, because people remember advertising for about 6 weeks, and really make a lot of noise and concentrate your forces. But as your advertising people from Triple M and such would be saying, is that it's all about consistency, continuity and repeat.
Absolutely. Instead of that trickle effect, I know some people like to just kind of, spread it over an entire year and, get a couple of ads playing here and there, but the campaign's always the stronger and better way.
Well, I think it is, and the point is, it's a lot about the content. We have regressed in our advertising content. In 1963, it was a seminal year because it was the year that many post-war baby boomers were entering the workforce and consumerism started to arrive. You saw the arrival on the scenes of the Beatles of Carnaby Street and consumerism. We've regressed back to product, price, place and promotion because of digital marketing. A lot of the digital marketing experts, sadly, are very, very good at communicating with and getting responses from algorithms. But it's the consumers who control the budget and have got the money.
Yeah.
70% of the reasons why people buy are based on emotion. And in that, I make a statement because it's a very interesting situation. The most effective, memorable and responsive advertising available has a sense of humour, particularly Australia's irreverent sense of humour.
Yes, some of the best ads I remember are all like got a bit of a comedy twist to it. What about those classic phrases, but like, we won't be beaten on price? Are they still holding up today?
Well, no, they're not, for one simple reason. There's a contradiction. You've just made that statement, we won't be beaten on price, and then the very next sentence they say, if you find a cheaper price, we'll beat it. Well, what that's really saying is give us a second chance, and you can't believe what we're saying. Because if you're making a statement, we won't be beaten on price, and people go out and do beat them on price, it kind of debases the credibility and believability, one of the advertising, two of the advertiser, but then three, it taints very badly the product. Services and such. So what I'd be saying is, on a Saturday morning when you've got your weekend newspaper and you're going through it and there's catalogue after catalogue after catalogue, look where the emotion is. It's not there, and therefore brands aren't being remembered. I would much rather, when people are looking for a keynote speaker or a facilitator for a workshop, to think about Barry Urquhart and Marketing Focus, because they're the two brands that we've got, rather than to say, let's look for a keynote speaker or someone who's written the two big selling books on customer service. When you become a nothing and you commoditize, you really are in the pack, and unfortunately, in a geographical order, you, with Urquhart, comes a long way after. Well, with your name, at least you've got an A at the start of your name.
Yeah, you still
have Alan Aldworth. I'm with the U. It's at the back end of the list.
No, mate, I feel like we could talk about this for hours and hours. I love this. Thanks for the chat today, Barry. I do appreciate it.
Okay, Alan, thank you.
Barry Urquhart there, the Managing Director at Marketing Focus. Very, very wise man. Singer on the line, Louise Marsh. Good morning. How are you?
Really well, thank you.
Now, you've got a ton of gigs coming up. Jazz by the Bay isn't too far away. Let's go through a couple of spots where people can see you performing this year.
On the Saturday, I'm playing with a little group called Skedaddle, who are going to be wandering around the streets in Dunsra and also around the lighthouse there. So just sort of more of a get out and make a noise in the community and, make our presence felt and show how it's can incorporate all sorts of different types of people. Should be fun. Yeah, sort of, I guess, more based on sort of old school New Orleans style sort of street music. Yeah. So on the Sunday, very excited for the Songbirds of the Southwest, which is a group I've sort of dreamt about doing this time last year at the Jazz Festival, and it's taken quite a number of months to get it together. So we've got an 8-piece band of amazing musicians, and we've got 6 fabulous vocalists who are all featuring singers of their who they respect and admire. And so we've got people singing Peggy Lee, Ella Fitzgerald, Amy Winehouse, and Nina Simone. So, and then at the end we all do one song together, which is an Etta James song. So it's sort of got a little bit of everything for everybody. So you know, a lot of age groups would enjoy the music. And the band is awesome. Yeah, it should be really good. So it's an early one. You've got to bring your cup of coffee. Kicks off at 10:15,
mm-hmm.
And it's in the Lions Park in the tent there, so the weather's not a problem. We'll be there.
Absolutely. So that's, yeah, Lions Park in Dunsborough on Sunday, the 3rd of June, 10:15 it kicks off. Sounds like it's going to be pretty fun. Good luck with it. And before I let you go, Jazz by the Bay, just touching on that, how great is this for the region?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, there's such a variety of music, so many different venues, bringing people from all over, interstate, international performers. It's a once-a-year treat. We really love it down here.
No, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Louise. I appreciate the chat.
Pleasure, absolutely pleasure.
Louise Marsh there, just one of the many, many people performing for Jazz by the Bay. Events popping up everywhere. In that one in particular, Songbirds of the Southwest, it's going to be great. Make sure you do get along to it. An awesome 8-piece band. That is happening on the 3rd of June in Lions Park in Dunsborough. But yeah, really looking good. Look forward to it. Immerse yourself in world-class live jazz. Jazz by the Bay, June long weekend. I'm now joined by a very special guest, the Busselton Mayor, Grant Henley. Good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks, Alan, and good morning to you and all your listeners.
Thanks for taking some time out to chat with me. How's Busselton been going? Are things slowing down a little bit yet, or is it still that craziness that Busselton always is?
look, we've enjoyed Indian summer that's extended way into almost to winter, and you know, it's been very busy around the district. But, really everyone enjoying the beautiful weather. But, we certainly need some rain for our farm folk inland.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk a little bit about the foreshore. How's all that going?
Yeah, so I'm down the foreshore at the moment, just having a look, and the last piece of that civic construction will go in over winter, which is the playground, which will be absolutely fantastic, a real nature-based playground with a nautical theme as befits the foreshore location. And that'll be in place for the young at heart before the October school holidays.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to seeing. And also you got that little amphitheatre thing there as well.
Yeah. So the natural amphitheatre and performance space with the stage, the sort of sound shell, and we've got a soft roof on that. So that'll come down over winter, but come up for performances in the summer.
Oh, that's great.
And looking at introducing that with a pretty big community event, I think, in the lead-up to Christmas, but before all the tourists get here. So something for the community.
No, that's great. Let's talk about what's coming up. Imagine this weekend's a bit quiet, but the WA Day long weekend, what's the plans for Busselton there?
Yeah, so we've got a pretty big event in equestrian event happening out at our Horse and Pony Club. Pretty big, especially for the juniors. Some of the best riders in WA coming down for that event over the long weekend. And as well as that, the fantastic Jazz by the Bay with some fantastic national, international and local talent getting on stage at over 20 venues throughout the region. So I urge people to get online and book for some of those premium events which sell out pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the chat today, Grant. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great day.